What are we doing? Are we starting this thing or what?
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Game of Nodes, where everybody's individually putting out fires, and I'm in the Jank Studio 9000. Well, we are one down today with a man that is just not wanting to be here, I think. He just simply popped smoke. Yeah. Apparently, he would rather spend time with his family than with us. I mean, that's just rude.
Oh. What happened?
Okay. My phone is sticky taped to a enormous like thermometer that I just found on the ground, and that's leaning up against the wall, and that's my camera. So yeah, I am 100% not set up in this place where I'm at, and I just grabbed a bunch of stuff out of a box and just like janked it all together, and here we are. So like, you know, this is my corner at the moment. At least I can move my This is sort of just in there, and there's cables, and it's a weird
little backlight.
Yeah, well, it was very dark in this corner, so I don't know if this is going to be the permanent potto corner. It's going to have to be some improvement on the lighting situation. It's a nice little nook. It's like right by the front door. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be a mudroom back in the day that has just like turned into a desk.
Yeah, but, small like office thing.
Prior to our purchase. But well, there we go. Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit echoey in this room, in this little corner. So it's actually when I take, I don't like that.
Yeah,
it's too echoey a little bit when I open my ear up. Yeah.
But you guys aren't really moved in yet 100%, right? So there's still like soft stuff that'll start taking some echo up.
Yeah, so eventually, but probably not in this front room bit. There'll be some plants and stuff. I mean, 90% of our furniture at the moment is plants. We just sort of like shipped in the plants, and then you know, this is we're both moving from small places, and so far this is like a two-story four-bedroom house, and we so far have a bed and a couch all we own. I know. And we went and looked at dining room tables like a couple of days ago, and I almost died looking at the prices of dining room tables. I'm not sure what happened, but I feel like when I was at college, I could get a dining room table for like $40.
Yeah.
And now they're like just insane money. The price of a chair is
I know about it. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's fucking nuts. Everything is really expensive. Like here, we've been doing some work outside. So we've been looking at outdoor furniture. And outdoor furniture, I thought, was cheaper. And I think we spent more money on an outdoor couch than we've ever done on an indoor couch. Like I'm pretty sure that's probably the case.
Same thing. We walked into the store and I'm like, what is this shit? Like, why? How can they comfortably ask for $7,000 for a fucking outdoor couch and table? And I'm like,
exactly. Like, that's ridiculous.
Maybe we're in the wrong store. We ain't buying that shit.
Yeah. Same with us. Yeah.
So then I went to like a more janky looking store, and it was not much better. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally like there's probably a 30% price difference, but there's like a 400% quality difference in some of that stuff too. So
yeah,
and some of that, especially outdoor, like, I have to feel that, I have to look at it because you just never know if it's just a piece of steel frame with some shit wrapped around it, right? So
because it's like wicker furniture, right? It's like you're buying someone's basket weaving from like the 80s.
Totally what it is. It's totally what it is. That's what our couch is. It's exactly what our couch is. I know.
So well now they've done away with the wicker and they're just wrapping string around things and they're like, couch? Yeah.
There you go.
You can
this isn't wicker. It's like a plasticky whatever that's wrapped around an aluminum frame. Like literally, that's it. And the big cushion.
Yeah.
And
like, but it's like the plasticky crap that's supposed to look like wicker, right? It's like you know, and I don't know. The nicer ones are like teak.
Yeah.
So, you know, like boat decks fashioned in. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. They look all right, but they're a little bit out of the range. They're quite expensive for what everything they are. So, you know, milk crates are cheap.
Yeah. Bear market furnishings, as Ben says. So you guys are sleeping in plants and shit.
Well, yeah.
Can I lay across this palm?
Spent all the money on the house and now we're broke as fuck. So probably just for the next 10 years, just sit on milk crates and like just buy a nice crib for the baby.
Yeah. Literally, we're finishing up part of an outdoor project this year, and it's nice. Like we did a decent job with it, but we've been in this house for 18 years. Like that, like that's literally how long it's taken. And people, we moved in and same thing. We moved in with nothing, and we had a couple pieces of furniture, and then we redid some rooms 5 years later. And like, it's weird how time just goes. You know what I mean? And you keep pushing things off, and you finally want to get into something, but everything, like I think, especially, I mean, that the place you guys have looks extremely well put together. So, but like when you get like older homes, you want to do like rework and all that type of stuff. Like, you just have to have patience with it because otherwise you'll just go broke and you'll make something you won't even know how you want to use the house anyway. You know what I mean? Like, everything has to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This house is complete. It is an actual house of.
Yeah.
Reasonable quality. My previous house I've spent the last 6 years renovating. It's the renovation that never ends. So I don't really want to be in that situation again, especially with a little one on the way. So we got something that's more complete, which means it's like more modern and flimsy, I guess. It's like I think our methods of construction here are a fair bit different to the States, but this is all, you know, like the sheet rock, I guess you guys would call it. We call it chip rock.
Like drywall, they call it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's timber frame, drywall, and some of the skin on the outside is bricks and some is like timber.
I think it's the same.
Yeah. Shit scared of termites here. But Yeah, we just sort of bought this place without a detailed building inspection and pest inspection. So when we moved in, I was like, fuck, man, I hope this place don't got termites.
It's kind of rolling with it.
I saw that outside it's got like here we have this, you know, pool of chemical that you put around your house. It's like a tube that goes around the house and it's got a couple of access points every now and then. And then like every couple of years you pay someone to come around and just fill that shit up with, the good stuff. Yeah. And it just soaks into the ground.
Do all houses do that? Is that like a common thing?
No, there's various methods. I think this is one of the chemical barrier is like one of the more effective ones, provided that you keep it up to date. So there is
it's basically a 6 foot like moat of death around your house,
pretty much.
Anything in the zone, not going to be there anymore.
They go a bit overboard, and like the green fumes start coming out of the ground, and the grass starts dying.
Mate.
But other things they do, like some, there's like termy mesh is a pretty popular thing as well. Like where houses on stumps, they just put this mesh that sort of turned down on top of the stumps. And for whatever reason, the ants can't like walk upside down and around it. So,
all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah, and then fucking I don't know. Older houses have nothing. Like my old house that I was renovating, it had literally nothing. It was just wood that was, you know, not very tasty to termites. It was cypress pine, and they just don't like it. So. All the renovations that I did were like true to the era and is all cypress pine, which was incredibly difficult to source in some cases when you need a specific dimension. I had to have timbers cut because the floor joists are the floor joists are imperial. and everything gets cut basically metric these days. So I had to like have floor joists specifically cut, and then they're green. So you have to wait for them to like season a little bit so they don't shrink too much when you put them in the floor, et cetera, et cetera. And it takes forever.
Yeah.
So there was like, I did find a couple of members that I needed that were just in this lumber yard that has been cutting wood since, you know, dinosaurs died. And they had some of the stuff that I needed just on the on the shelf for the last 40 years.
Yeah. Well, for regular lumber, you can actually order like kiln dried and all that kind of shit too. Same thing with what's the green stuff? The weather treated type stuff too. You can do that. It's just ridiculously expensive, you know?
Yeah. Just soft pine. I mean, most of the framing now is all just, you know, just a soft pine that they grow overnight and then just pressure treat with, termite shit. But yeah, it's like red colored here, I think, is the termite treated stuff. I don't use it. I just roll the dice and then salt the earth. Salt the earth with chemical.
I fill the bag.
Our driveway here is also quite steep, and we've been having trouble getting our stuff from Melbourne delivered because like the ground was a little bit damp on Monday when they were supposed to deliver it, and the delivery truck driver's just like, I can't drive my forklift down there. I was like, I said it was steep in the form. Like, I want my box, man. And then he's like, yeah, I think I can do it. And I was like, maybe let's just not do it today and wait till it's dry and then come back. Because this dude was like, yeah, man, I can get that down there totally. And I'm like, I feel like if you do that, and your forklift ends up in the front of my house, it's going to be a really big drama. And, you know, there's going to be insurance and you're going to be here most of the day. And I've also got shit to do. So let's just take it back and we'll come back when it's dry. And then they took it back and their dispatch rings me and they're like, man, we can't deliver it. I was like, what? It's like, yeah, it's too steep. I'm like, man, the driver said he can do it. It's pretty fucking steep. In the form, I said,
"Yeah,
the words I used was the driveway is steep as fuck. You're gonna need a sky crane to get it in here.
You're fucked. Not my problem. I've warned you. Figure it out."
But they didn't like, you know, read that and go, "Well, hey, you know, it's been raining this morning. Maybe we might reschedule." So, it's coming today, but. So we live on a battle axe block as well. So there's like a shared section of land between me and my neighbor where the driveway is. Okay. And their garages sort of come out onto that and then it becomes our driveway.
Okay.
So I went and talked to them. I'm like, we're just going to drop this box on your flat bit before it gets to our more steeper driveway. So
yeah, just carry it up or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So fucking tomorrow I'm going to have like, it's getting delivered this morning. I might have to like, turn my camera off and go and talk to the guy at some point. But basically, like, my legs are just going to be like fucking tree trunks after I've unloaded this thing.
Well, a lot of that stuff usually, well, it depends on what it is, but usually you can, whatever's being delivered, if you can break it down, it always goes, you know, a little bit better, but depends on.
Yeah, it's all literally just boxes of shit anyway. So it's just a lot of up and down with boxes. None of it's particularly heavy.
This week on Game of Homes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit going on. Schultzy too, right? He's got something going on too, even though he's busy fixing something. And is Neutron halted? I just got an alert. Is it still down? Actually, I got an alert a while ago, but I was kind of ignoring it.
my Neutron node is an archive which I'm syncing up for somebody who were having
Neutron archive. Oh my
God. Yeah, it will
never happen.
Hey, man, what do you mean? Why not?
It'll never happen. I'm sure it won't happen.
I'm there. It's there. Still going. I'm there. So yeah, I'm up to 3.8 million.
Ah, you're one-third of the way. One-fourth of the way.
And I don't have to. I only have to get up to about five. I only need 5.9 million blocks before the IAVL V1 upgrade.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to try to halt it but keep it active somehow? Is that what we said?
Yeah, so I have it set. Basically, it'll fail at the upgrade, and then I'm going to remove all the peers and roll it back a block and then bring it up, and it should be fine.
Sit there and just dial. You think it's just going to sit there and dial? That's a pretty smart idea, man.
It won't dial.
Good idea.
It won't
dial. Oh, if you remove all the peers, yeah. Turn PEX off, yeah, all the shit off, and just let it sit there.
If you turn PEX off, remove the peers, and make the incoming peers zero and the outcoming peers zero, it should just start up and sit there and answer RPC
calls. And response. That's an interesting test. That would be useful to do for other types of things, actually, especially this IAVL switch, but that's a pretty good idea.
I'm sure
it'll fuck up. Something else will happen. And
yeah, I'm going to snapshot it. I'm going to take a ZFS snapshot like 500,000 blocks out so I can just keep going back to that snapshot.
Literally, I was about to say that. I just snapshot it a couple times over in there. I'm surprised it got peers and everything else, but that's good.
Not going to lie, it was pretty hard to get the first 100 million blocks. It was not happy. Yeah. And plus, there's a bunch of like non-governance upgrades in there, which were a pain in the ass. But the Neutron guys were good, like Soy 2 and
There are so there's some hotfix up there that would have hashed things out.
Yeah, it's just getting them at the right, because a lot of them are just, well, some of them are upgrade anytime type things, but you know, sometime is too early for any time. I had couple of app hashes that I had to recover from and stuff like that. But basically, I just ran with the latest compatible binary until it app hashed, and then I was like, "What binary am I supposed to be on?" And they're like, "Not that one." And I was like, "Oh, righto."
What'd you do? Just roll back or something? And keep going.
Just rolled it back and went to like an earlier binary, and then waited till it app hashed, and then rolled back and went to the next one.
I talked about this a long time. I think Shane and I were talking about this, but there is like no, I mean, there is no source of that information for each chain, right? Like it just happens
Neutron in does, the moment. But Neutron's got it in their GitHub.
Don't say Cosmos Directory, because that's not the solution either.
No,
Chain Registry's not the solution, even though James and I maintain it diligently.
There's so much like last minute, because some of these things like Nell said, like there's a breaking change, but it's only going to happen at a specific point or a specific transaction comes. So you can actually have it. There's a huge window for when you can run that. But if you don't run it, it's going to app hash. Like there's, I don't know if those are like, those aren't really captured anywhere, right?
So I do chain registry updates when my Ansible is broken, because it's just quicker for me to do that than.
That's Schultz.
No, I've got a variable. I've got a variable, and then I just fix it because I want it to work next time. So
I still put versions in. You have to type
like fucking 10 more characters in your command line. It's kind of annoying.
Fucking 10.
10.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, man. Dash E node version. Fucking. But that's not the only issues at the moment. There's fucking just problems with stuff that need fixing. It's hard to find time at the moment, man. It's quiet and incredibly busy at the same time. With the crypto world has dropped off a cliff in the last month. Everyone is I don't know, like damaged from PTSD or something, and just taking the time for a siesta. I think there's a lot of I don't want to say things have like stalled around the place, but it seems like interest is waning a little bit in some regards. And maybe, you know, people are like quite worn out and just taking now that the heat's off a little bit, just taking a little bit of time to recover a bit. But also there's been a bunch of, you know, this is like conference season as well. So there's a lot of teams out conferencing instead of developing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think some of the stuff drives off of Bitcoin and Ethereum, right? Ethereum is just back on over $3,000, where, what was it, late May? I was looking, is about 4,000, just about. So you have a 25% drop in a month. And I like it's, and like the, with after the SEC and all that kind of news gets broken, like, so what's the next thing, right? So, like what's
the catalyst? We keep talking about this catalyst.
What is the catalyst, right? So 2 months ago, they approved, which you could say is is priced in, because there's all that, you know, after the or before that approval, there was so much talk about that approval and it was coming. And so it was kind of priced into that. And so just when it came, it really what it is, what it is. And then you had a nice spike after that based off Bitcoin going to 70,000. And now that's at 57. And Ethereum was at 2,800 for a while. I didn't even see that. Actually below that even. 2,800 bucks.
I bought my ETH at ATH. Sorry, everybody.
You're like, I'm doing my part.
I bought it and then literally the next day it took a nosedive. So. I actually saved last week. I saved the market as well by dumping some of my bag at ATL. So
nice.
Well, nice. That was, you're welcome. You're welcome. took a big L for the team.
Some stuff bounced back this week. Say bounced a little bit. It's back at least above 30 cents. It was down to 26 or something like that.
Oh, no. So, I made it lower. I got it down to 25.
Good job. It's back up to 30. Yeah. It's thrill. Almost 33.
What a guy.
Yeah. What a guy.
I bottomed it out and just sent it after that. Bought back in at 30.
Adam's above $6. Or I guess it's at $6 right now. It was in the fives for a while, I think. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, when shit like this happens, people lose interest and it just takes some time, and what's the next catalyst and all that kind of shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was like, geez, I'm getting hosed over here. Maybe I'll take a look at the old stock portfolio. Amazon doing well.
Amazon's doing well, yeah.
It's baffling to me how it keeps going up when its valuation is already astronomical. Surely I haven't looked into the like actual macros of Amazon a lot, but I'm assuming that they're pretty bad compared to its market capitalization anyway.
I don't know. I mean, they kind of control that, right? So, I mean, that was a story for a long time because they were putting so much money into AWS and infrastructure. I mean, but like right now we're going from 2-day to 1-day delivery, or I'm sorry, same day delivery. Like that juggernaut, man, I don't know. The amount of dollars, at least here in the States, that goes that direction is incredible. Like we have retailers dropping around us all over the place. So I don't know. It still thinks, and AWS, I mean, AWS is AWS, but, you know, before it was AWS that was driving a lot of that margin. But I think those days are kind of over. Now it's like, now they kind of control how much you're going to spend and what delivery structure is going on and what DCs are building and all that stuff.
So, yeah, I think there's still a lot of growth in like data center. I think I'm invested in a company over here in Australia that builds data centers, and they surprise me. Their business model is pretty mundane. It's like sell contracts, build data centers, fill megawatts, and like they've just been steadily growing for like the last 6 or 7 years, and they're looking pretty good on the balance sheet as well. For my personal finances, I had to sell basically all of my stocks to buy this house. Actually, I had to sell everything I own for the deposit of this house. So, I've got my ass hanging out. What are you doing today? Mm-hmm. There was like a couple that I kept, and the data center one was one. And, what was the other one? I kept Amazon because it was a pain in the ass to sell because it's on the American Stock Exchange. Mm-hmm. And
Juno?
No, Juno.
Juno. holding that Juno?
Juno. All my Juno holdings are going ATL. I don't know. There's like a couple of techie type based ones. Oh, there's like there's a audio one. It's called Audinate, and they make network audio.
Okay.
They got a lot of patents for network audio. It's coming along. I've been invested in it for years and years and years as well, back when they were like a penny. And they're making some ground now. They had a really bad time during COVID, really bad. Lost a lot of, because obviously there was no live events or anything like that. So they just lost a lot of market then. I wouldn't say market share. I'd say the market just stopped existing for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're starting to come back now. So, but anyway, has Rama provided the news this week? I haven't looked at the spreadsheet.
There's some stuff in the spreadsheet. Yep. There's some data in there.
Thanks, Rama.
Yeah. Some actual news.
What are we up to? We didn't skip an episode again. We're on 119.
We are.
Things can only get better. Oh, apologies, everybody, as well, for last week. It was a last-minute cancellation. People just had stuff on. And
plus, prices were down, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, no one feels much like talking about things when, like, everyone's down bad.
We're like, it's like, oh, what are we doing here?
I don't want to get out of bed today.
Yeah.
Have you reviewed the news?
What? Of course not. We just created the stream like 5 minutes before we launched it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, literally.
Frey's not involved, and that was it.
Yep. Yeah. He's like,
nothing. Nothing gets ready. next week should be a good week. Hopefully we'll all be on for that. The four of us together, which hasn't happened in a few weeks now. And the week after that, I think I might actually see the Frey. So that'll be good.
Oh,
some proof of life. Yes. We're going to head that way.
You're going to jolly England.
Yeah, we are. Yep. Yeah, we'll be
Fun
there.
Fact, for a bit. Whenever Dr. Frey and I first met, the first thing I did was grabbed his butt.
You did?
On accident.
Oh, really? Maybe I'll do that. Should I do that? Should I keep Probably the tradition good. Alive?
Yeah.
Keep the tradition. Schultz told me to do this. Kiddo.
Yeah, he had his kiddo. First of all, Dr. Frey's really tall. So there's a height discrepancy.
I've met him before, which is not that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Family, yeah.
So he had a baby on the front and like a backpack on the back. And like we went to hug and like my hand just went down and being down just meant his butt. And I was like, oh, geez. Sorry. Right. I'm just getting fresh over here.
All right. Frey's on notice. Going for the
posterior. He sent us a photo of his trip cycling. And I made some off-color comments about his size. And
yeah,
he failed to respond. I thought that were quite clever. Like, hey man, do you ball?
Do you ball? Nice.
You know, basketball.
Oh, yeah.
It's you have to ask. It's just absolutely everyone you meet who's tall. You have to ask that.
Do you ball?
You ball, man. So, you know, before getting onto the news, another thing that has been quite active in conversation this week between me and Schultzy is coffee. I live miles away, which is weird, from a cafe. And also my driveway is quite steep. And I'm pretty sure it costs me $1.50 in diesel every time I leave it. So, you know, switching from a cafe man to a home barista and fell down the rabbit hole of coffee machines. And let me tell you, my friend, that hole is deep.
And, but are you talking to ordering one?
Are you talking drip? Or are you talking
drip. Oh, my fucking You're
espresso, right? Okay, all right. Yeah,
espresso, yes.
I have an espresso machine. Yeah, don't fucking yell at me.
Don't you at me, although man.
I drink more drip coffee than I do espresso. I make shots, but. So what, did you buy something?
I haven't pulled I almost pulled the trigger straight away on Schultz's recommendation, but I think.
Was that a Rancho? Would you recommend?
No, it wasn't a Ranchillo.
Was it a.
It was fucking hell, man.
We talked about it in Austin, right?
Yeah. So just a simple Breville machine. But I didn't realize. So the way I roll is I'll get something cheap until I know that I use it or until like it breaks. Mm-hmm. And then I'll like get the really expensive thing because I know I'm committed to whatever.
It's a good idea.
I didn't realize Mr. Big Balls over here likes to skip the cheap part and just go full expensive. So whenever I recommended this, I was going by my paradigm.
You're like, this is
I was like, this is not even that's $4,000. A cute recommendation, Schultzy, but so, I mean, I looked into it. I researched the machine that Schultzy sent through. It's a decent machine, but I'm looking for that more involved, you know, espresso feeling.
Double boiler or a single with a heat exchanger?
Well, there's a couple of ways that this could go down. I haven't made a decision yet. I haven't made a purchase. I'm still researching the field, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, you've got your Gaja and your your Rancilio type machines, which are a single boiler, do some, you know, temperature surfing, that type of stuff, which I'm not massively keen on. But there is like, so those two machines and even some of the Breville or Sage in maybe your part of the world, or actually I think it's
called Sage over there.
No, so no, they're Breville here, but Breville is Sage, as best I can tell. I think it's actually Jolly England that they're Sage, or you know, over that part of the world. So there is a big modding community with those types of machines, and there's
of course there is.
Yeah, holy shit, man! That fucking there's just entire forums dedicated to these machines.
Yeah,
and people put Arduinos in them and you know PID and just change out all those bits. That did sound appealing to me, not going to lie, but it's also probably more time than what I have to spend on a coffee machine right now. So then I started to look at, you know, the different types of group heads and the heating mechanisms. So Schulze is a fan of the E61 group head from like the day from the 70s.
So to be clear, I'm not a huge fan of them. I don't like the startup time. That's why I recommend something that was not that.
Exactly. So the boil time is like not great. So there are, I think it's Baja. I can't remember the brand, but there's like this other brand that sort of developed their own group head. I can't remember the name of the group head. It's like a BZ10 or something like that that I sent Schulze. And it heats up in like 10 minutes. It's a lot quicker. And I'd probably put like, you know, just like a smart controller on the power cable, it turns on in the morning. Yeah. So I'm thinking something like about that tier of machine. It's like, you know, the prosumer level, but not as crazy as like your La Mareza Mini, like the Linear Mini, which is like 10 grand here. So it's like, you know, a cup, like, a, you know, 1500, 2 grand Australian, which is like, you know, $1,000 US. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but just one and done it. I've already got a reasonable coffee grinder, but it'll need upgrading as well at some point. So, yeah, man, and then, you know, you like your baskets, all these things come with the wrong basket. There's no, for whatever reason, people aren't shipping with 18 gram baskets. What the fuck? Like everyone uses 18 gram. Every review you look at, they're like, fucking just pull the basket out and throw it and stuff an 18 gram in there. Like,
oh, just like a larger. Yeah.
Well, they come in with like seven and 16 grammers and weird shit like that for your single and your double rather than just an 18. Like who has a single shot? I'm pretty sure anyone who has a single shot just has a double shot and throws the other one away. You know,
could be.
So, but also who's that? Well, I guess maybe espresso people might have a single, but,
So anyway, are you just pulling shots, or are you foaming milk and all that shit, or no?
No, I'm a milk guy. So that was another problem with some of like the Gaggia Classic, and that is that they, because they're a single boiler, you have to sort of hunt that.
That's what mine is.
It's a little more difficult to get the right temperatures and time in between to get the right temperatures for frothing your milk.
Yeah, no, it's a pain in the ass, is what it is.
Yeah,
it's just not worth it. Like, it's just a pain in the ass. And then the other thing is, like, if you want, you can't do back to back because if you do a shot and then use a heat exchanger, then you actually wait for the heat exchanger and bring the boiler temperature back down to when you pull a shot. That could be like a half an hour. So, like, if you're, you got to like back them up, right? So, you got to make like a bunch of shots and then come back and froth milk. And like, you don't want to do all that. That's fucking nightmare. So, if you're actually going to use milk, I would ignore everything else and just get it. Double boiler and just be done.
A dual boiler, yeah.
So
the one I'm looking at the moment is a dual boiler. It's got that different group head on it. It's got quite good reviews.
There's nothing wrong with the 61 group head. I don't know. That has nothing to do with the boiler or anything else. I don't know why you guys are talking about that.
No. The 61, it takes a long time for the group head itself to heat up. It takes half an hour.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. That's what mine is. Yeah. I have mine in a term that goes like it basically gets a boiler and everything going for a half an hour before you want to pull. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. So I have a quick mill. It's Italian. It's nice. It's single boiler. That's what, AT exchanger.
Schulze has.
You have a quick mill?
Andrea Hot Premium. Yeah.
No shit. That's how fucking random, dude. It's not really.
I thought you said you had the Eco. We said to leave the Eco.
Premium Evo. The Evo. Evo. Yeah.
I have the Anita with a pit on it. No, the Alexia. I'm sorry, the Alexia. I have the Alexia with a pit on it, which is installed separately. So, well, the Alexia, I think, ships with that now. This was like 10 years ago. And then, so that it's got a heat exchanger, then it just pulls shots because I don't do that milk shit. Which is it's a nice structure. Like you, it's got to be
plentiful. Right? You don't do the milk shit. You're not a
straight shots milk guy. Purely Americanos. That's a really good. The other brand I would really look at, which I would upgrade to, would be a Dula Boiler Rocket. Rocket is a nice brand.
I had a Rocket right before I had the Quick Mill, but it was really old. It was from the '80s.
Oh, really? Yeah, they're two boiler systems, and like that's a really nice espresso machine, which is not like ridiculous. Like it would be they're all ridiculous. Don't get me wrong, but it'd probably be like $2,500 US, which is I think ridiculous. Don't get me wrong, but like there would be it's just not $10,000, right? You're not buying like some of this other shit. That's so funny. You have a Quick Mill. There's very few of those.
That is expensive, but you can amortize that pretty quickly down to like, so like I used to spreadsheet this and I got under 50 cents per latte in like 2 years. Like taking into account the cost of electricity, taking into account water, milk, fresh beans, all maintenance things, just because it's like a weird hobby thing. So it's really not that bad.
Going broke by saving money. The story of my life. Yeah. I just got to take this and divide it by a million. And I'm totally it's no problem. It's totally fine.
If I'm near a cafe, I'm having two lattes a day from that cafe.
And yeah, I know.
In Australia now, that's probably $13 a day on coffee. That's more than the electricity in the house.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, they're $10. So it's a lot cheaper than having two coffees a day in America, by the way. Those things are $6 US over there, which is like $9.50. Australian. Yeah. It is fucking ridiculous over there. Plus a tip. Yeah. You know, my barber, so here's a funny story. Having been in the States recently, I fucking hate the tipping over there. It just drives me bananas, especially because as a foreigner, I don't know what the status quo is with various situations. So, you know, I understand that service people get paid a dismal wage over there and they need tips to survive. I don't understand how the fucking prices are so high and those people can't afford to pay their employees properly. That's another story. So I don't mind giving a tip to like a waiter or someone who's like provided me some service, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But when I walk into like a fucking supermarket or just like, you know, a fast food joint or something like that, where the person literally just takes my order and puts it in the machine. I don't understand the tipping there, especially the supermarket. Like, actually, here's an example. The duty free at the.
Is there a tip like a duty free?
Yeah, well, it comes up on the machine. Like, and, you know, the base model of that tip is like 20%. And you're like, kind of fucking negates the whole point of doing duty free. And I'm like, I just opted out of duty free because I didn't want the awkward situation when I get to the thing and they're like, tip. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm leaving the country. But anyway, so I went to the barber the other day. I wasn't massively impressed with the chop, but anyway, trying to find a new barber up here now. And anyway, blah, 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 cut everything. I mean, it was probably standard too expensive for a haircut for a guy in Australia. And then when we're at, you know, the pay thing at the end, he's like, does the thing on the computer and then you've got the pay screen. And I'm like, I don't read anything on those screens. I just like wave my phone around it, hoping that it'll make a beep and I can leave. and he's like, oh no, you need to choose. And I look down and it's got that fucking tip screen. Fuck you, Square, for bringing that shit to Australia. And he's like, oh no, you need to select. And I said, fuck, man, we don't do tips in Australia. So bang, fuck you.
That's it.
They're trying to shoehorn that shit in here now. And I'm not having it because everyone, like, you know, this guy's telling me about his like AMG Mercedes and shit. And I'm like, you don't need my tips, dude. This is not the situation for that. Bloody. You're already charging good money for your fucking haircuts and you own this business. So, you know, it's, I don't like that culture.
It is everywhere, though. I mean, we have it even like if you go pick up food somewhere, there's a tip thing. You're like, you know, like it's everywhere. It is everywhere. I forget, not at a gas station, someplace else. Like, oh, there's a tip thing. It was like a liquor store. I bought like a 12 and there's a tip thing on there. I'm like, dude, like your store. So, I just walked in.
Like, I'm not a tight ass, but things are getting ridiculously expensive. And to like, especially in America, man, like in the last 10 years, the fucking prices of things over there has gone mental. And you guys obviously are well aware of it living there, but it used to be cheap for me and as an Australian to go to America. And now it is astronomically expensive. Like, you know, I have to think twice about going there. You know, the year before last, I was there for 4 weeks and I couldn't wait to get out of there. Like, I couldn't wait to leave.
Is that really like, just in general?
Well, just existing over there is like being stabbed many times a day. So,
yeah.
And then I get back to Australia and I pay $6.50 for my coffee and I'm like, thank God. That this is only $6.50. Fucking hell, man. A couple of years ago, a coffee in Australia was $4.50 just a couple of years ago. And it's gone up about 50%, I'd say, across the board mostly. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people are starting to bring prices down. I think a guy in Melbourne near where we used to live was just as I was leaving because, you know, I think people were just like stopping going and getting coffees. He brought it down to like $4.50 again.
It's good because the wages in the U.S. have completely, totally stayed in line with those price increases. So everything's fine. There's no problem.
The wage increases?
Totally.
Yeah, well, but I guess maybe that is also dependent. Is this satire? Are you saying
yes, it hasn't? That was satire.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say.
Wage growth in the U.S. has lagged significantly against not just forget inflation, like and inflation related thing, just overall price increases, even before COVID, which did
I would
not
say happen. That's pretty similar here. But a lot of people, I saw it happening and I predicted it happening during the pandemic. Like I was still out working. I could see like these consumer prices increasing on things. And it was, I think a lot of the inflation that we had was preemptive price increases with the assumption of inflation from business owners, right? So it was like, you know, the chicken and the egg. And I think that preempting increases increased everything from a supply, like all the way through the supply chain, people. And, you know, all it really was the businesses were for a time just profiteering on the assumption of inflation and just making fatter margins, and no one was paying their employees anymore. They still, you know, they're still just doing CPI around here, which is like consumer price index, just whatever CPI is, maybe minus a little bit. And, you know, the cost of living has gone up 40% while wages have gone up like fucking 5%. So, I think there's still a lot of profiteering on the allure of, well, the illusion of inflation around the place. If that makes sense.
Well, yeah, there have been studies coming out, U.S. side anyway, where much of the inflation is from basically corporate greed, them increasing prices just to increase prices, which
because they've got an excuse to. They increase prices because people think that prices are going to increase because of, you know, popular media. And so, you know, they use that as the excuse to raise the prices and then just, as you say, make fatter margins and profiteer off it. So, you know, that all catches up with itself. And then eventually the whole supply chain is more expensive because they raised prices. So,
you can see
the petro industry is becoming more competitive again and those prices are starting to come down, especially, you know, for things like diesel and around Australia, which is the lifeblood of Australia, all the trucks run on diesel. You can see those are starting to come back down again, which is a pretty good lead indicator of where things are. If diesel prices are coming down, then the economy is struggling.
Right. Yeah. In the US, so we always, watch this Social Security cost of living adjustment. They used to call it the COLA, which we used to do back in the day. So we'd always look at COLA every year and then like use that as a baseline. So back in, I don't know, whatever, pick 2001, COLA was 2.6%. Then you would say, okay, so base 2.6%, meaning everybody's wages on average it has to increase 2.6% just to break even, right? Meaning like that's a cost of living adjustment, right? So this is a national level and they have it at each state. So you used to do it by employees or this or that. And they do like some grandiose numbers. 2020, 1.3%, 2021, 5.9%, 2022, 8.7%. 8.7% COLA is the largest increase in cost of living adjustment last year or 2 years ago now since 1981, which would have been like fucking credit and loan issue here. And then 2023 is 3.2. And I think this year, who knows what it's going to be this year. So over the last 3 years, that's 6% plus 8.7 plus 3. So what is that? 18%? So that means over 3 years, you have an 18% cost of living increase. There's no fucking way that the average, there's an average of 6% salary increase across all, across organizations. Well, like, not even
it's even worse. It's even worse if you take into account the compounding effect of that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. You're right. Because good point. So right. So 5.9% plus another 8.7 out of that. So I mean, it's probably over 20%.
Yeah, it'd be over 20.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. So that means that the cost of living adjustment is let's round and say 22.5% or 22% over 3 years. There's no way everybody's salary is up 22% over 3 years. I would assume that most salaries here in the U.S. I could probably look it up, but I'm guessing usually it's somewhere between like, I would say 5 to 6% a year, maybe. But typically you would have somewhere like in retail, I'm sure it's zero. And like in corporate jobs, maybe 4 would be typical, up to 5 maybe. And even if it's even in some down years in revenue, it'd be zero, right? So it's just it's a really rough. And cost of living is it's a real deal, right? Like there's no things are more expensive. So and the other thing that really hurts, like we look at a lot, which is like just how much buying power that we'll have as you get towards retirement. You want to get rid of, you want to try to extend cash out where the incoming revenue is not as high and all that kind of stuff, which freaks you out, right? Because you make X dollars and that thing's down 20% because you've done nothing, right?
Fluctuations in I'll tell you something that I think is true. If the like interest environment doesn't change, the rich have no catalyst to get richer because it's people with money who benefit when the interest rates go up, and it's people with money who benefit when the interest rates go down.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. And in both cases, people who are leveraged get fucked in both cases. So, like, there is scope for, the average Joe to get ahead a bit when interest rates go down. Mm-hmm. And basically, like, if you own a property or some sort of capital asset, when interest rates go down, you're winning, right? Because the way the capital prices of things are calculated is based on return, and returns stay the same and the interest rates go down. And so, it's calculated off the base rate plus a margin for risk. And then basically, the way the formula is, that's the way it works. Interest go down, capital price go up because the return is the same.
Right.
So then the people who own property win, right? Who owns the most property? Rich people. That's where they put their money. And then that just, everything gets out of reach for anyone who doesn't own something. And then you're stuck in this rental market. The rental prices go up, right? Because you're stuck in there. You have to pay rent. There's an increased market for the rental market. And then, that increased market pushes rental prices up. And then the revenues increase then, which further pushes up capital prices. But then when the market turns around and the interest rates go up, then the people with money win because they get return on their cash assets. And then when things are inflating, like their property prices still go up because it's inflation that now drives it instead of lower interest. So, and you know, because things are inflating, you've got excuses to raise rents and this type of stuff, which raises revenue, which keeps the capital prices in step with inflation then. So then, you know, for people with debts, there's like an old saying that's inflate your way out of debt, which countries do raise inflation to make the debt burden smaller on a per, you know, household basis. So, and then, you know, it cycles down again and then everyone just keeps getting fucked.
Right, exactly. That part always happens.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. It just seems like a death spiral of poor people getting poorer.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Sorry to be a Debbie Downer on a Wednesday night.
What else you got?
Yeah. Well, get into some news. I need to go burn myself up a coffee real quick and check my messages to see if my taxi box is on its way.
Fuck you.
Taxi box?
Who knows? What an asshole. Hold on. Let me get some news going. There is some good, there is some exciting news in here. Sorry, I got distracted because I was looking at Neutron. So Neutron is moving. Sorry, there's a halt while we were on this call and it is moving, but
I really enjoy the message from that guy. That's like, you know, I'm just going to quote it because I think it's pretty good. Guys, I have an idea. How about we work together on offboarding Neutron from Interchain Security? All this upgrade is super risky for Cosmos validators. I don't understand why we should support protocols like that. It is our Cosmos validators that can get slashed with these shady, untested software upgrades. Plus, the requirements are getting very high on the infra side for a network that pays nothing to both stakers and validators.
Well, tell me you only validate the hub without telling me that you only validate the hub.
Yeah, right. Like he comes in, he's got his little
I don't know if you guys knew
icon
this.
On there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you knew this, but this chain's not paying us anything. Oh, really? You did? Yeah. Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Somehow this, I just look, guys. This chain is not at $6-8. This is, it's only at like, you know. Oh my goodness.
Devs need to do something.
Devs need to do something here.
Let's kick it out.
Yeah, it does look like, so it is moving, but it's look really slowly moving, it looks like.
It's moving quite slow, yeah.
And then,
I don't know, Neutron feels like not that big of a deal whenever Avmos is on the horizon. The fact that Avmos is going ICS, I'm,
right.
You know, part of me is ready for it and part of me is not because it's going to partial set security. And I'm going to be like, not part of that set, I'm out. Because right now, the smallest snapshot you can get for Avmos is like 500 gigabytes. Like,
I know. Let's never solve the state sync problem. Let's just ignore it until it's never going to happen. Never going to solve that problem. It's just huge. Just getting bigger and larger.
Yeah. I thought Secret was bad. Secret takes like 2 hours to state sync, but it comes out to be like 13 gigabytes. So it's like,
that's not bad.
Yeah. No, it's not bad at all. It just takes long to get through it.
Well, Neutron nodes are running. They're not complaining. I have one that has some tracing on it that's failing, but that seems to be unrelated. So, well, that's interesting. All right, one piece of news. I don't know if this is news. Maybe this is from last week, since we skipped. There's an article from The Block. We're talking, because we've been talking about Pump.Fun for a few weeks now on Solana, right? With shitcoins and meme coins and all this kind of stuff. And it just... Pump.Fun's cumulative revenue crosses $50 million. Platform has helped launch over 1.18 million meme coins. It's amazing. Solana-based meme coin launchpad, Pump.Fun's cumulative revenue has crossed $50 million, according to DeFi Llama. In the past 24 hours, the platform generated over $600,000 in revenue. $600,000 in the last 24 hours when this was written last week.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. 1.18 million meme coins have been deployed. I mean,
that's a lot of state bloat, let me tell you.
I mean, honestly, how long does this last?
I mean, it's been going on for like 6 months now.
That's right? True.
Yeah. I guess six months. So if they can establish, if Solana can establish itself as like the meme coin hub, one, good for them. Two, dang. And Solana, the way their validators work is a bit different from the Cosmos in that they actually get more money from fees, I understand, than through block rewards. And so they must be just raking it in right now.
Right. Yeah. And Rama says it has no token. That's purely Solana that's into the dev's hands. Yeah. So anyway.
Fascinating.
It's totally fascinating. Craziness. Yeah. Anyway. And is my...
I know Noel uses Pump Fun. I don't know if he still does, but I know he did. He did use it. And there's supposed to be one in the Cosmos here shortly, isn't there? Or is there one already? Rama, chime in.
What? A meme coin hub?
For the Cosmos ecosystem, yeah. I think on Osmosis, there's a Pump Fun for Osmosis.
Nice. All right. One other piece. Let's see. What else we have? We can talk about Polkadot. Polkadot announces it has paid $37 million in marketing this year for a net result of absolutely fuck all. Less active wallets, less active users, and little to no price movement. The intern took over the account and has done a lot more for Dot in the last 24 hours than the entire $37 million ship posting this whole situation. I'll put a link to their Twitter. There is a bunch of shit posts associated with this. There's some funny stuff that's up in there. So, yeah, I don't know. When the ecosystem dies, what do you want to say?
And I feel bad saying this, but Polkadot is really horrible to use. Like, their wallet system is just, it's brutal. I've used Talisman. I've used Subwallet. I've used their official Polkadot.js wallet, and it's horrible. Anytime you want to change to a different network and use them, like, Kepler and Leap, the interface and the way to interact with things is just so much better. To say nothing about node running itself, running nodes on Polkadot and running a validator it makes absolutely no sense. We're running some stuff for people and it's completely nonsensical to me.
Do you mean on the actual Polkadot, or you mean like on a subchain?
Substrate. Just Substrate in general.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's a key system associated with that, right? There's like a bunch of complexities associated to authorization and all this kind of shit that goes on there. To run a node on a Substrate chain, isn't there some sort of structure that goes back to the actual main Polkadot chain or something similar to that to get authorized to be able to run a node or something? I don't remember.
So that I don't know. I've been running on just like side chains that don't necessarily hook into Polkadot necessarily. It just uses Substrate as their base.
Yeah.
But my issue is more around the way their key system works. So the way you become a validator is you launch the node and then you rotate keys and then you submit the keys to like their explorer.
Right.
Right. Which is very strange to me rather than just submitting it online. And so you change validators by moving that key. And it's just, I don't know. And then you don't know when you're going to be nominated. There's like a difference between like your stash wallet and your primary wallet. It's just, it's very opaque.
I was just going back to this comment around Neutron. All these upgrades, super risky for Cosmos validators. I don't understand why we should support protocols like that. Why should we support protocols like that? It's amazing.
Do you think that they will actually vote Evmos in to interchain security?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Why?
I can't wait.
Why would people just not veto that? It's like going to be such a pain in the ass to run.
Because it could be partial set security. There only needs to be, I think, a minimum of like 5 validators run it. So what they're going to do, probably 5 fine validators, be like, hey, we'll pay you, I don't know, $500 a month to run our chain. And then ultimately they're paying less for that than they are actually having their own chain because of staking rewards, right? So that's why.
So
Neutron, the issue and the complaints with it is that it's not partial set security, it's full set security.
It's not really full though, right?
It's full minus like one. It's like
I thought 20% or could I thought if you're under a specific percentage of VP you could bail out of that and not have to do it and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, but I think that's like 5%. I don't think it's 20%.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe they'll migrate to partial set security. And if they do partial set security, then great. I have no issues with Evmos and like Comdex joining. That's great. Yeah.
So what? So 5 validators? Is that what you said? Like they'll pick a small number?
I think the minimum is 5 for the partial set security. Yeah.
And what's the point of that?
Not having everyone in Cosmos validating it.
Oh, why couldn't they just take the existing set, reduce it down to 5?
Reduce it to 5. Yeah.
just the the economic? Did they get the economic benefit of the whole set?
Well, you would have all of the rewards going to five people.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make it any cheaper.
Right. Yeah, true.
I don't know. I don't know if you get the full set security if only five people do it.
And what about governance? Is that still what the original Evmos vows? Like, did they turn into governators and that whole kind of bullshit? Or is it like Stride did? Or is it more like, it can't be to five vows, right? That wouldn't make any sense.
I don't know. It might just be.
If they want to reduce the validator set organically and pay less for security, they could just implement an upgrade that forces 0.01% commission.
You know what? I'm not convinced that would do it. I'm not. Like, running on Evmos is already like eating glass.
Yeah.
And nobody's making any money on it anyway. No. So
true. Yeah. True.
In theory, it should have like culled itself, right? But I don't know. I find this whole sociological side of things of being a Cosmos validator so interesting, because we just like to punch ourselves in the nuts. Most of us don't make any money on most of our validators.
Yeah.
And then they just let them run, even though it's not doing anything. And Evmos is, it's costly to run. It sucks.
Yeah, I opted out of Evmos. Juno's much the same now. It's not actually very costly to run, but I mean, you still have to like spend time on it. And I mean, it's virtually worthless now. Stargaze is actually a pretty good chain in my opinion, but it's, you don't make much money validating there, if any. Chihuahua should probably die as well. It's
is that going, I mean, to
it, but it doesn't cost much to run, but it's like also doesn't make any money. But there's a lot of money.
Like, if it doesn't cost much to run, it's easy to run. I don't have much issue. Like Chihuahua, I don't have a lot of issues with Chihuahua because it takes very little space. Yeah. It's easy to run. You can just ignore and let it go. Evmos is not the same.
There's been like one upgrade in a year, right? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I don't even know where that node is.
Evmos is definitely in a league of its own in terms of burden. It's just the database is so huge and it's all just crap from the, the initial launch and just people making all these stupid accounts. But it does nothing now. There's no activity there. And that's true for a lot of chains now.
It's still heartbreaking. It was pretty nice prior to the Nomad hack, and then the Nomad bridge got hacked, and now it's never recovered. That's going to be heartbreaking for a lot of folks.
That Nomad thing, it was just a death blow overnight, wasn't it? It was just, you're done. See you later. No liquidity, no more game.
Well, and I think Evmos kept a lot of us kind of afloat for a while because it was just printing money from the beginning.
I've never cashed a single Evmos. That's how.
Really?
Yeah. Those days I was just putting things back in it and then it died and that was it. I don't think even one.
Wow. I did, but immediately got hosed by Captain Twitter. So
that's so funny that they track you.
Captain Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey man, you can't show your rewards, man. You're not supporting the chain.
That was a great Strange Brew.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
The last time I pulled rewards at Evmos was May 16th, 2023. Yeah. That's a good time.
Wow.
That's about the same as Stargaze too. I haven't played any of those or Juno or anything else. Like it's been.
No,
just ignore them.
Because what's the point?
What's the point?
Yeah.
Why touch it? Why deal with it? I'm glad that'll be nice when that goes to ICF or what do they call it? What do they call it when it's partial set? PSS? ICF PSS?
Yes, PSS, that's correct.
PSS ICF?
PISF.
PISF. Yeah. Enjoy. So Neutron. Okay. Well, I'm glad Neutron came back. That's good. So it wasn't Slinky. I saw it was in a chat. I was like, it's Slinky. I'm like, I don't know if it's Slinky. So did Slinky go live on testnet at Neutron?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it did. Okay. Yep. All right. Okay. So make sure, because I didn't see anything about that conversation. And so I just didn't know if Valves were trying to figure out exactly what the hell they were doing with it or not. That's good.
Yeah.
So
I'm really looking forward to Slinky is going to have it so that, is it still Slinky after the Skip rebrand? No, it's called Connect, right? It's not Slink anymore. It's Connect.
Oh, is it?
I think so. Yeah. They're going to have it such that you can just have one Slinky and have all chains talk to that one sidecar. And that is going to be glorious. I cannot wait for that.
All chains talk to one. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
My camera died, by the way. Had to switch over to the integrated. It's actually not looking too bad today.
Yeah, Skip Connect. I see it. I didn't even see the rebrand.
I like
it. Oh, yeah. Skip Connect. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What was the thesis behind Slinky as a name?
I have no idea.
It's kind of a strange. It's a strange name for something, right?
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think there was some chatter in the group chat about whether or not you can just run one instance of Slinky for everything, right?
Yes, and it's not activated yet. Cannot do it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
I mean, technically, the entire chain could use one instance of Slinky.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Yeah. As long as, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of Chainlink, right? Isn't that what that becomes?
No. You still have a ton of node ops hitting a diverse set of endpoints. Not all node ops at Chainlink hit the same endpoints. It's all managed. So there's not much overlap. This is taking the same data and just publishing it by 50 people or 100 people. That is actually each node op has three endpoints, but there's overlap of what endpoints there are. So there's a lot more diversity in terms of endpoints. There's also more cost.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So it's managed. So meaning like if I'm pulling some from CoinGecko, maybe one or two others might, but nobody else does. And then I produce a price, everybody produces a price, and that's how it happens.
So there is no like key sharing between Slinky and the validator either. So
no.
I mean, you could have like a couple of Slinkies load balanced and just have everyone use it, I guess.
You could. The issue is that the Oracle itself today, the sidecar itself today, or Connect, calls into the has config that associated to it that it knows that it's talking to the node's gRPC port to be able to pull contract information that has the pairs that it's doing. So today it's 1-to-1, but yes, you could even I bet you could do that today actually, because
You can have a couple of nodes that it loads that's load balanced for it to pull that information from as well over gRPC.
Yeah.
Just for redundancy. Yeah.
You could. So I think for all DY, I don't see any reason why all DYDX validators couldn't call a single Oracle endpoint at 8080 and have valid data. There's nothing stopping that, I don't think.
Well, all of our sentries all call the same Slinky instance.
Yeah. So that would so every val could do that. So you could produce DYDX Skip Connect as a service.
Skip as a service, baby.
You don't need to run all that shit.
It's like, oh man, it's so hard to run this stuff. We go, hey baby.
Hey baby.
A service for you right here.
I got you.
Hey baby, I got you.
Just call this. So when you can do that for multiple chains, I think that'll be really that'll be really cool, because then you get the situation where they could produce different bundles for each of those nodes. And, you know, whether that's pulling from different chains or like Solana, or whether it's just pulling endpoints or whatever else. It's just, I mean, all you're doing is really pulling pairs across a bunch of different source endpoints, right? So in theory, it could be multi-chain.
I wonder if we should try and get SATA on here. I'd love to get their thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Like, are they a direct competitor? In my mind, they are.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't know if they are in their mind as well.
I think so. I would think that they would think that. And also their structure is that you can basically, the way I understand it is that anybody can come in and be able to create an Oracle endpoint, define what that is, and then that gets distributed out and those groups go out and identify that data and bring that data and create a trusted Oracle associated to that very quickly, right? Like, hey, I want to get this price pair, and then you can produce that based off of like some commodities. I'm not sure how fast it is, or if it's the same thing the way it works on chain, or if that is through vote extensions the way that Skip does it, or how that, you know, I don't know how that exactly works, but I think it's just an endpoint, I think. So that would be cool. We should, it's on our list, man. We got all these fucking guests. We don't do anything. That's what happens when we come up with a show 2 minutes before.
We even had like, we even talked to a lot of people about coming on here.
We did.
So, yeah. You know, fans of the show, there's a lineup of people to come on here. We just have to like send them a message at some point.
We need a we need a booker.
Booker?
Yeah.
Booker. Yeah, I mean, of course any one of us could do it.
No. Yeah. How successful has that been?
It's like, come nah. I can do it. I'll do it.
Well, shit.
You're like, you fucking lie. Did you fucking sit there and lie to me? You asshole.
Exactly. You asshole.
Yeah.
When you sit here and say that, yes. As soon as we hang up, you're like, I'm not doing that.
Fuck that.
Fuck that.
I'm not doing this bullshit.
It's fun.
Anyone got ETHCC regrets not going? I mean, Schultz's got representation there at L5.
Yeah.
Heard a man.
It's good to have somebody in the EU. Yeah, a little bit. It seems like it was I'm hearing a lot of good things, and there's a lot of folks that we know are going, so that would be cool. Maybe next year.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. I don't know. It's a long way to go over there every time there's something on. So I'd pick my battles to go over there once a year. I think next year, though, I won't be going to the States. I think it might. Rama keeps calling it ETH C crime. So obviously Rama's got a vendetta against that. I think the next one I'm going to go to is going to be in Europe. The America's annoying me.
Fucking coffee price.
But also, like, having a newborn is probably going to limit my ability to go anywhere anyway, which is a shame later on in the year because a lot of the stuff in my part of the world happens later on in the year, which also happens to be, like, when we're going to have the new member of the family. So, unfortunately, can't go to those either.
Yeah, but by the spring, you'll be right. Next year, you'll be good.
Token 2049. I mean, it's a good reason why I now don't have to spend $1,000 on a ticket to Token 2049. But I also don't think you need a ticket to Token 2049. I've discovered recently that you just don't really need tickets to the events. You just go there and book up all the side events. Like,
right, right. Yeah, I agree.
If you're a hobo, get into crypto and just hope that a conference comes to your neighborhood if you want to week of fucking free food and booze.
That's right. Meet some people, sleep on their floor. We can make it happen.
I wonder what the break even, let's say, is for new people entering the space to cover off the food and alcohol bills of conferences. I wonder what the break even amount is across the whole space. Do you know what I mean?
Like what they spend on those things?
So,
I mean, I don't think I spent anything on alcohol.
You're talking about us or people are hosting?
No. I mean, you have to sort of think of this as a larger thing, right? I mean, crypto as a whole, like crypto as an industry, I wonder what the break-even amount of new people entering the investment space, like buying crypto, to perpetuate the Ponzi, to enable those foundations and teams to be able to facilitate the free food and booze at conferences.
To
are
then
you talking shit about m'ladies specifically?
Fucking m'ladies, bloody crack parties. Yeah.
I would say somewhere between 25 and 50%.
Jeez.
Somewhere there. God. Somewhere
there. It's like we need another bull run to facilitate the next round of conferences for 3 years.
That's right. Yeah.
What's Rama saying here? I can tell you first. Oh, okay. You will not be going to overseas next year. So yeah. Rama is referring to the new human appearing.
I left the country after within the first 12. First 12 months, you can get out. You can do it some trips. Nothing crazy. Like, not for like, you can't go for a month. You can't like disappear.
I mean,
see you in August.
So being in the one place is actually, I'm looking forward to not leaving this city for a good 6 months. And, you know, that's enabled me to line up a regular golf game on Wednesdays.
Uh,
It's like my one chance to leave the house every week, maybe, if
that's funny.
If the partner allows. So this
Cosmos upgrade V18 that's coming in a couple of weeks, right? Or it's 7 days away. Is this the
WASM upgrade? Baby?
Is it?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's the one.
Wow, one chain to rule them all. It's gonna be PSS, ICF with a bunch of shit chains as well as WASM. What do we need anything else for? Get rid of it all.
The hub is going to get annoying to validate at some point. People, WASM just adds so much state. Like, there is, at the moment, the hub is probably the most vanilla chain in all of Cosmos. Adding this bloody WASM is just going to bloat the state so hard, everyone's going to get the shits.
Honestly, if it gives the Cosmos a reason to exist, I'm okay with it. And Cosmos kind of already sucks to run because of Neutron and, because of ICS. So might as well let's do it. If we're doing it, let's just do it.
Let's do it. Let's get it done.
We're already cutting. You might as well just cut the whole arm off.
It's going to need a couple.
That's right.
You're going to need a couple of those last minute security, oh shit, situations where you do a coordinated off chain, no governance proposal upgrade, but you have 40% of the state who doesn't give a shit. Right? Who's just what? Like, they're not going to respond the way that you have other regular CosmWASM chains. It's going to be great. They're like, what do we have to do? Like, we do what?
Can we wait a week for that? Because we need to get prepared.
Yeah. We're on holiday until August. So, no. Can't do it. Nobody's here. It's going to be good.
It'll be baby's first non-determinism.
I mean, really? Okay. This is a little off topic, but that reminds me of Kraken and Injective. Oh, my God. It takes literally like 5 to 10 days for Injective to land on Kraken because they're like, their node runners just can't handle it. I don't know what's going on, but they've had a bad time for like 4 months now.
So couldn't the foundation here instead of putting WASM right on the hub, and if the hub is this financial entity that backs these other things, wouldn't it have been better to just have a permissionless CosmWASM chain as a subchain, as an ICF, as a ICS chain or something similar to that off the hub, so the hub can do what it does and just make blocks and upgrade slowly and be stable? Like, why does this have to be on the hub? Like, why couldn't it be someplace else? Why couldn't it be on something else that is hub two? And there it is. It's, you know, it's the same thing, but it's a subchain. So, or it's a ICS chain. So, you know, the same, if it goes down for 2 days, at least the hub's still moving. And like, why does it need to be on the primary?
I agree. Maybe we should call it something like Proton.
There you go. Like why? So this is going to be risky, and it's going to add, not that CosmWASM is risky, but it does have security things that come up, right? Like, it's moving quickly. And this is permission or permissionless? I don't remember. Permissioned, right?
I think it's permissioned, which is also kind of below the proposal state.
Right. So it seems like it would be better as like an ICS chain that still has the same branding, but it shows the flexibility of ICS. And now it's a way to be able to have that be as a something else. And I don't know. Maybe it's just not Atom based.
I mean, that's kind of the main issue with why a lot of people voted no, was because it directly competes with Neutron, which is literally exactly the purpose of what Neutron was supposed to be, right?
Right, right.
But the problem is we haven't seen dividends from ICS, and so you can't really rely on it anymore. I mean, that's the issue. They haven't figured out the economics of ICS.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well. Well, good luck. Enjoy. I can't wait for you. What else can we give you? Chihuahua you can take. Yeah, Evmos is cool. Let me bring up a list. I'm going to make proposals for all these to go to ICS or something. What else do I not want to deal with? Yeah.
You can be the new havoc bringer in the ecosystem, keep making proposals for ICS.
Meme coin? That would be good. That should be an ICS chain. You guys should do that. You should definitely do meme coin.
You could really start a fire and suggest a Kosh become an ICS chain. Oh, man. People would get lit up.
It'd be all over you. Chihuahua, what else we got? Empower you can take.
Uncredited has joined the chat. I'm late, and haven't checked the charts since early last month. Just do yourself a favor and don't. You're not going to get any spoilers here anyway. We don't do price talk. We're
Everything's fine.
Talk about coffee.
Everything's fine. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh my god, man!
What a fucking this, week.
I don't know about this fucking nook. I'm sitting on a cube, and my back is starting to fucking die.
I'm gonna shorten the show to an hour.
Fuck, man! I can't wait for my goddamn chair to get here. It's fucked.
Is it sitting out in the? Is it sitting in the driveway?
No, it's in this fucking box. I've been like, just putting off life for a week, waiting for this box of shit to show up so I can unload it and actually get my office out of it.
Yeah,
because I tell you what, man, everything is a lot fucking harder on a laptop. That's for sure. Like just doing stuff.
Oh, yeah,
on a laptop.
Yeah.
Fuck my life. I just don't want to exist.
Do you have an actual mouse, like, though? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you're using like a trackpad and shit, that's miserable. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's just, it's fucking miserable single anyway because the screen's just so small. When you like I did, I've done upgrades on this screen with literally like 15 terminals on it. And it's like, everything's like this wide. And when you type a command, it takes up like this much of the screen. It's just like three characters that's just filling it up. You're like, I got no idea what I'm typing.
I can't live like this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of sucks. You need like tab. I wish, actually, Schiltzy, you might know. Can iTerm, it doesn't tab, does it? You have to have them visible.
It doesn't have tabs. Yeah. Tabs? What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
I use iTerm tabs all the time. I will.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I use tabs.
I'm using them right now.
How else do you do broadcast?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, no. So, I mean, like, tabs that you can tab between instead of having... Because I did broadcast, but if they're all on the fucking screen at once. Can you have them not like that? Like, nested behind each other?
Yeah, look, you can... I sent the screenshot into our chat. You can see...
Oh, my God.
You can definitely tab.
Yeah. I've just been fucking... Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, of course, you have a psychopath.
Yeah. Of course,
yeah, you have on Discord.
I don't understand what you're talking about. Of course, you have tabs. How else do you? You can't broadcast unless you have tabs. So confused.
What do you mean broadcast? What are you saying?
Same text into multiple terminals at once.
Command shift I. So, oh god, where is it? Oh, it's in the. Where did you put it, Schiltzy? No, I can't find it. Do you guys not have the saying, your blood's worth bottling? Do you not have that there?
We do not.
No.
Oh, right. Okay.
What the hell is that?
Erdemann seemed fucking mortified when I said that to him the other day. He's like,
it's like, what the hell are you talking about? What does it mean?
You're going to drain me of blood? It just means that you're a really good person and, you know, you could bottle your blood instead of wasting it on the ground.
To do what with it? Oh, because you're going to murder them?
Put it on the shelf.
Why would it be on the ground? What do you mean on a shelf?
Them. You got to clone them. Yeah.
You know, like you bottle a good wine, right? So why not, you know, bottle a good blood? Yeah, I don't know where it came from. It's a saying.
I want to
your
drain
blood is
you.
So good. It's because you bottle good things. So
I want to drain you and then put you in a bottle and put you up on my mantle. Is that basically what it is?